ready to laugh your ass off.
I'm ashamed God made me a man.
I don't think God's doing a lot of bragging about it either.
What's happening, Captain?
We gotta come into that ending a little better.
That's like hitting a brick wall.
I know.
Nothing like a little Ella Henderson. This is Sigma featuring Ella Henderson, who you guys know that I love. I just love it. Love her voice. Hi. Hello. It's the Lesbian Lounge, and I'm Denise. And I am brought to you by MyLesbianRadio.com. You can find the Lesbian Lounge shows on Podbean, Stitcher, iTunes, and every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, streaming from rainbowradio.fm. So, wherever you're listening from, hello! Hi there! How are you? Are you good? Are you great? Okay, alright. I'm good. First up, I want to give a couple shout-outs. First one to Joe Schmooze, longtime listener, and I hope things are going better than good for you, my darling. Next, a shout out to Kirsty. Hope you're doing good and that you've tried Broncos by now. Wendy P, thank you for your Facebook posts in the lounge. And to Claire Lydon, another great chat on the Lesbian Book Club, this time with lesfic author Kryn Claxton. I hope I'm saying that right. That is episode 10, and it's online right now from wherever you get your My Lesbian Radio fix from. So, okay, a lot happening on today's show. Not going to lie to you. A lot happening. Let's start with me, shall we? Since you really don't have a say-so in it. Coming off of that Elfest high, Gem and I had a total weekend of absolutely nothing. Total nothingness. I pathetically watched a Heart of Dixie marathon. I know that it did not get renewed in the States, but they're a little behind here. And while I was away, it recorded like 20 episodes. So I watched that, and Gemma read books. And the highlight was that we baked a Betty Crocker red velvet cake and then did not have any frosting. So the weather was a bit shit. It was a little dreary, a little cool. So we just took the opportunity to nap a lot. On Monday, though, I had an unexpected adventure with Hazel, my friend. We went into a town called Bagshot to check out a massive farm store, Long Acres, which was incredible. When I tell you, this is like, it was like a garden shop / mall. It had a food hall, it had an American section, it had a South African section, it had a British section. It was just so cool. It had a gelato station. There was like outdoor stuff. They had the coolest sheds I've ever seen that looked actually like conservatories, like with triple sliders. They had these outrageous like outdoor fire pits and pizza ovens. And I mean, it was just insane. It was huge. And we had such a good time. When I say it had an American section, you know what that means. Like, I loaded up Cheetos, combos, Ike and Mike's, Goldfish, crackers, huge. I did well. We had a good haul. On the way home, we grabbed some lunch at a pub on the river called The Anchor, which was really nice. It was really, had the weather been just a little bit better because it was a little windy and cool. And, we couldn't figure out where all the wasps were coming from. It was like kind of weird, but we realized there was a nest on the roof, so we had to get out of Dodge. And on Tuesday, it was back to work for me. Not really. I mean, I was gathering all kinds of interviews for you guys that you're going to hear on this show. One of them with Marina Rice Bader, filmmaker, who you know from Anatomy of a Love Scene. She also was a producing partner on A Perfect Ending. She's got a new film coming out called Raven's Touch that we're going to talk about. And we'll also hear from the stars of the movie, Dre Weber. I'm also setting something up with Tracy Dinwiddie. Not yet, but I did get to speak with Drea, who you guys should know from your I Am a Lesbian film collection, which should include The Gymnast and a Marine Story. Yeah, that Drea Weber. And I've had a little chat with musician Jen Foster, who has a new album called The White Room Sessions. And that's coming out. I think she's still in the process of raising funds, but she's got really cool offers. I mean, I donated just to get the bonus stuff. So it's a really good album. And I'm going to add that interview, the whole thing, because we chatted for a good long time, like half an hour. And I'm going to put that at the end of the show so you can check it all out. And I'm going to drop in a little bit of the new music as well. Right now, we are filled with Jess Glynn, Rita Ora, and of course, like I said, Ella Henderson with Sigma and Glitterball, my new fave. But all right, so let's get into some of the news of the week. And please ignore my gardener is here cleaning up. Oh my god, I am so sorry. My lawn guy, I have to keep stopping and starting. So, as I was saying, we should totally get into the news. But first off, I gotta tell you, and this is big news, I have finally found a podcast, lesbian podcast, that I absolutely love. I know it's not new, but it's new to me. It's called the P-Cast, or the Pussycast, with Heather and Nicole. And you can find them at www.pusscast.blogspot.com. You can follow them on Twitter at @puss_cast. And they're on Stitcher, too. They are so funny. Oh, my God, you guys, you're going to love them. This is what Donna and I would have been had we started in our late 20s, early 30s, instead of into our mid-40s. It's, like, super filled with, I don't know, sex talk, vag talk, funky chunks, drinking, laughing, lesbian topics, stoner movie references. I mean, it's got it all. And I love them. I'm going to have them on the show soon, I swear. We've emailed. We're setting it up. So hang in there. And check this out. I've got a little clip for you so you have a little taste.
Everything's working fine. I know I've talked about this before, but do you... Like, it's your active fertile period,
okay.
Your period diary, do you find that you have a lot more mucus than normal?
That's normal.
But I mean, like, a lot.
Not a lot. But
like, you see it, it's kind of like...
creased.
You see it come out in the toilet?
No.
Oh. Well, then I think my vagina is waiting for something.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Never going to.
Because that's what that is.
I know, but it's like, it must be waiting for something really big. I'm like, where is this coming from? And it used to be like maybe like 1 or 2 days.
Yeah.
Now it's a week.
It's your vagina's like, let's get this body started.
I know, and it's kind of like, what are you waiting for? And then I thought about it this morning, like the beginning of R. Kelly's Bump and Grind.
Uh-huh.
It's like, my mind's telling me no.
So it's like,
but my vagina.
So
my
it's like,
vagina's telling me yes.
Are your vag lips like Turner and Hooch, where you just have that troll hanging and it's just all over the apartment?
Yeah, and like I went to the bathroom and I looked down like Jesus. The one time I had like a string coming from my vagina and it hit the toilet. It hit the water.
Do you see what I'm talking about? Crazy, gross kind of stuff, but so funny. They are just so funny. Oh my God. Okay. just wanted to share that with you guys because. Hopefully you'll get a laugh. I love them. I love them. I love them. Okay. So, this is Let's Go by Tiesto featuring Iconopop. If you haven't heard about this, please go look it up on the internet. It's so adorable. A teacher in Liverpool posted a letter she received from one of her students saying how she inspired them to come out. After entering into a civil partnership, Emma Baldry decided to change her name, a move that invited some questions from her students. She said, I had a choice to make. Do I lie or do I tell the truth? I chose the latter because I had gone through enough time living not as me. So I promised myself that now I'd finally found out who I truly was and I would never hide my sexuality again. Baldry approached the topic in a planned lesson about family. We talked about how all families are different and everyone is special because of it. She strives to create a safe space at school where kids can feel comfortable and confident being themselves. She began to run an LGBT plus assemblies, and she continued to be inclusive in her lesson plans. And I think this is fantastic. Her efforts have made a difference in the school. She shared the letter from one student with the media in advance of Liverpool's Pride weekend. The student says that her assemblies and lessons changed loads of students' opinions. The student continues to say that knowing Baldry and hearing her stories helped make being out in high school feel less lonely. You can read the full letter on poprap.com. Just click on LGBT. But I'm sure it's all over the internet because it was just adorable. It was so heartwarming, seriously. And we need a little of that. The trailer for Freeheld came out on Monday, and already just the trailer had me bawling, so I can say with certainty that this film is going to be as emotional as an actual lesbian relationship. Julianne Moore and Ellen Page will be starring in it, and it is based on what real-life New Jersey detective Laurel Hester and her domestic partner Stacey Andre went through when Laurel was diagnosed with terminal lung cancer and the fight that it took for her partner to receive her pension benefits when the inevitable happened. Fearing for her partner's future, Laurel appeals to Ocean City, New Jersey's Board of Chosen Freeholders with the hopes of ensuring that her pension benefits will be passed on to Stacey. But you guys remember, this was way before we had the law on our side, so it's a glimpse at the struggle and what it was like before we had equal legal rights. So it's going to be an important film. It's going to be an emotional film. I think it's going to be a film that's done right. Steve Carell's got a great supporting role in it, playing her attorney, Laurel's attorney. It's just, it looks really, really good. Not much more you can say about it. I'm sure you've watched the trailer, but I don't know about you. I was reaching for the tissues. 2 minutes, I was reaching for the tissues. All right, and good news. Actor Colin Farrell will be the best man at his gay brother's wedding. We've always known that Colin has been a loyal LGBT ally, but doesn't this just make you love him more? Seriously. And then, of course, sad news. Bobby Christina Brown passed away at the age of 22, surrounded by the Houston family and other loved ones on Sunday evening. Tragic, yeah. Totally tragic. But she's with her mom, and she's in a better place. I mean, wow. Do you realize it's been 6 months? I mean, it is heartbreaking. 22, way too young. Way too young, just like her mama. Way too young. Raven Simone speaking out on The View. Apparently, Simone, who's... Let's get this straight. Raven Simone, who is 29 years old, thinks that Caitlyn Jenner, who is 65, is moving too fast. The topic was about Jenner getting widespread praise for making her docuseries, I Am Kate, about educating the world on transgender issues. Raven Simone seems to have a problem with that. When I came out, she said, I didn't go hardcore and be like, I'm going to save the world for LGBT. The View co-host said on Monday's episode of the talk show, you've got to learn it. You've got to learn it first, and she's not really. Simone came out in 2013, I think. She's in a relationship with a woman, but she doesn't identify herself as a lesbian or bisexual. Instead, she prefers to be known as a human who loves humans. What? Beforehand, I was definitely repping the community, even when I wasn't saying, this is what I was. I'm not faulting you because, yes, we need you, but it's too fast and too soon. You know, all I could think of and I've seen the article like a million times in the video on Facebook, but the minute I see it, I think, shut up, Raven, with your over-politically correct nonsense. I mean, if she's anything, she's proving that there is such a thing as being over-politically correct. Like, don't worry, Raven, you're not getting fired from mainstream TV. You know, like, just relax. People can say what they want to say. Nobody is saying that Jenner is trying to educate the entire transgender community. I think the docuseries is about her learning about transgender and their plight and their issues and everything that goes along with it. It's been a private struggle for the longest time. And when you take that plunge, she's trying to learn everything there is and pass it along. So we're just actually going with her on the journey of what she's experiencing and what she's learning. She's not trying to educate anybody. I think she's trying to show people what she is learning. And they can take it or leave it. And same goes for you. Leave it if it's bothering you. Hey. Speaking of Jenner, Caitlyn showed up in L.A. and surprised an audience at the Greek Theater as she introduced the iconic Boy George with a short, modest speech followed by, "But enough about me." "Thank you for being here tonight. This is so much fun for me, and let's hear it here at the Greek for Boy George." Jenner then enjoyed a lively waltz with trans actress Candace Cain before Culture Club took the stage at the infamous Greek in Hollywood. So that must have been a good time. All right, I can't even believe that I'm going to attempt to do this. Let me bring this down a little bit here. Oh, God. I can't even believe this. All right, here's the thing. Here's some celebrity gossip on Ben Affleck in a song, if you will. And this is from Jezebel. It was written by Bobby Finger, who I'm guessing was a huge fan of the Fran Drescher show, The Nanny. Like, don't kill me for this, because I'm giving it a shot, and that's all I can say. Again, if you want to read this yourself, you can check it out on Jezebel. Okay, she was looking for some work. She didn't want to fling when she got a nanny job with Ben and Jen this spring. What was she to do? What was she to say? She needed the money. But over the next few months, her bosses went to war. She was there to watch the children, but the father saw more. She had youth. Jen went poof. It's the truth. Ben fell in love with his nanny. Who would have guessed that the girl we described was just exactly what Ben's penis prescribed? Now Jen Garner found her disgusting. She let her go. And now Ben's on top of her thrusting. His rep says no. She's the lady in bed next to Ben Affleck, the man of her dreams. His 20-something rebound, the nanny Christine. Oh, all that because it's been rumored that Ben Affleck is now sleeping with his nanny. So thank you, thank you, thank you, my peoples. Thank you for allowing me that little gem. Oh, shit. I can't even believe I just did that. Okay. All right. Let's get some music back on here. Holy crap. That was horrible. Again, Little Rita Ora. Okay. That was so shitty. I'm just sitting here in all kinds of shades of red. All right, so we'll get to the good stuff, the even better stuff than that. I had a chance to have a Skype chat. There we go. I had a chance to have a very cool Skype chat with one of our lesbian community's newest, biggest, and brightest directors, Marina Rice Bader, yesterday, and it was so much fun. I love talking to Marina. This isn't the first time. She's a full-time mom. She's so passionate and a spirited director. I know you've seen Anatomy of a Love Scene. And she was in that, too. She's a master juggler. She is a master at juggling her life and making quality lesbian-themed content for us that she ends up raising the money for and works on a budget to get us the stuff that we need. So her new film is Raven's Touch, and that is starring Drea Weber and Tracy Dinwiddie. And this is no different, folks. Hardworking, time, energy, money went into this, along with help from Drea behind the scenes as well. So we had a really cool talk about it, and I don't want you to miss out on this, because this is very cool. Marina, in the midst of our conversation, decided that she wanted to give away 2 tickets to Saturday's private, invitation-only LA screening of Raven's Touch. So I want you to listen closely and do what she says. You're going to have to email me a certain sentence. I will pass that email on to Marina. First email I get, I will pass it on to Marina, and she will contact you with the information that's needed, as well as the details for getting into the screening. Okay? So have a little listen to this chat with me and Marina Rice Bader.
How are you, dear?
I am so, so good. I was looking forward to this forever, and then... You know how you think you can do a million things at once?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So I was multitasking, and all of a sudden the alarm on my phone went off, and I was like, oh, my God, I got to go. I got to get stuff done.
Yeah. I know. Me too. My poor little doggy, I kind of, I won't say I slept through my alarm, but my alarm went off, and I immediately picked up my phone and started checking emails, and before I knew it, half an hour had gone by.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, shit.
Yeah. It you never know? Fails.
He's like pacing outside the door waiting for me to take him on a walk, and I'm like, oh my god, just hold on for 30 minutes, little buddy.
I won't even make it 30. We'll keep it nice and short, but I could not let this opportunity go by, because I know you're so busy. There's so much happening with the new movie.
There's a lot happening with, well, there's stuff happening with both films, with Raven's Touch and with Ava's Impossible Things. You know, I'm trying to very carefully and thoughtfully shepherd Raven's Touch into the world, but at the same time, I'm filming Ava in October, so wow. There is so much to do, but it's all wonderful, wonderful stuff. I'm super stoked about all of it.
So it's like crunch time before the new movie and promo for the one that's done. Oh my goodness. I probably should have done research, but have you ever worked with Drea before?
I haven't. Oh my god, I love her so much. I kind of thought about who do I want to work with in the business, and I have met her at numerous events, etc. And always thought she was so wonderful, and of course I love the Gymnast and a Marine story.
Yeah.
So when it came time, I was like, I want to collaborate on the next project. Who do I want to work with? Yes, you bet your ass. I called her up and I'm like, hey, you want to do a movie together? And so that's kind of how it started. I pitched her the idea. She decided she would love to take a stab at the script, and I said, that is fantastic, because I'm producing the project, you know what I mean? So yeah. It worked out beautifully. I produced, she wrote the script, and then we co-directed.
That's incredible. That's like a huge undertaking, because just doing something on your own is huge. But when you collaborate on something, it's almost like you would think it would be easier, but it's really not, because...
It's really not. But at the same time, it was so, oh my God, we had so much fun. I can't imagine many people at the end of a 16-hour day, we could just be giggling and laughing like schoolgirls, you know? She's just super fun, super wonderful. What a pro. And I have to say, and I say, I've said this to Dre before, I think her best acting is in Raven's Touch.
Really?
She's topped herself.
Oh my God.
She has. You can take it to the bank. All emotional levels have been hit in Raven's Touch by Drea Weber.
Oh my God, this is fantastic. And I mean, you know, the great part about it is that you get the built-in fans of Tracy Dinwiddie.
Yes.
You know, and they're a ravenous bunch.
Good God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's a huge plus, but I know myself.
I love the fact that she's got that following, but at the same time, I would not be her for a million bucks, because it's too much. Too many people loving her and adoring her.
I know. It's like an army. It's huge. But it's fantastic for something like this. I mean, that's just great. I mean, and, you know, I know myself, like, Drea, one of the first movies I ever saw was The Gymnast, you know, and we got to, I think we did a phone interview with her, and we were, you know, so stoked. Then I saw A Marine Story, and I don't know, I think I didn't have contact information, but then all this time went by, and it's not that you forget, but when you hear that she's doing something new, it's like, it's so exciting.
Exactly.
It's so exciting. It's like a recon mission. Like, I'm so thrilled to be able to see her again. This is huge. Tell us, if you can, without giving away anything, because I know you've got premieres lined up, but can you just give us a little bit of the basis of the story for Raven's Touch?
Yeah, you know, for me, it's a story of forgiveness and how to get through terrible times, which we all go through. I mean, I don't know a single person who's escaped untouched in this life, and how to move on, how to get past it, how to choose life,
instead of going another route. Right.
Thematically, that seems to be a thing for me, because that's one of the main things happening with Ava's Impossible Things as well. But it's these two women who are going through really challenging times in their lives, who both end up in the same general area in these woods, whose families both have history there, and they literally, literally run into each other. and it kind of starts from there. And of course, it's not smooth sailing at the beginning.
Right. Good.
They end up realistic. Really, very realistic. They end up finding a way to help each other. And, you know, for me, the human connection is one of the most important lessons we learn,
you know,
while we're here on the planet. And I think if we had more people with their eyes open and ready to connect with each other, we'd have a lot less problems in this world. But our movie is just, you know, it's just beautiful and touching and lovely.
It's amazing. Was it based on anything personal or just?
You know, honestly, I was thinking, okay, if I want to work with Drea Weber, what kind of role can I create for her that's very different than anything she's ever done? And so that's how it started. I created Ray specifically for Drea. And then I'm like, oh, who would be great? What would be a great character? And I pulled a character from one of my old films, a single mom with teenagers who are putting her through hell. And I would say if any part of the film is based on my life, it would be that I have been through teenage years and I'm still going through with four different children. Oh my God.
That's huge.
And I'm still telling the tale, you know, so I'm doing something right. I'm still here.
It's so funny. I'm just sitting here thinking I can barely handle two cats. Like, that was my thought just then. I'm just sitting here watching him clean his little face thinking, yep, that's about all I can handle. It's all I'm good for. I love it though when other people do. I find it amazing. It is just something that it's a God-given talent.
Balance, you know?
Yeah.
It's fine balance. It's
always.
You know, I'm going on my. I'm very excited to say going on my fifth feature-length film for the lesbian niche audience in as many years, and it's pretty amazing. I have to say.
We're so starved for it. And the thing of it is that I know, and I'm speaking for myself, but I know that when I'm going to see something of yours, that I'm in for the long haul. I know it's going to be good. I know the quality is going to be perfect. It's what we want without having to kick and yell and scream because we're getting it from you. It's so limited, but I mean, like, I know that sometimes I'll sit down and I'll put something on and it's not the quality I want, you know, and then it makes me feel sick. Like, I feel like I'm not supporting it, but that's the thing is that we,
I understand.
I mean, yeah, we want quality. We want taste. We want, you know, projects we can relate to. And, you know, I feel like we know we're going to get them from you, you know, and this is even better because it's with, you know, two of our favorites. It's like, oh my God.
Right.
Yeah.
Like a double header.
It's like this is like the Harry Potter of lesbian films right here. Like, oh my God, it's gonna get off the chain for you once this comes out.
And they're so wonderful.
What's the first place? Because I just read, and I don't want to get it confused with Outfest is just ending. So
yes.
where's your film coming out? Because I read that it's going to be screened somewhere, and I just don't want to get it wrong.
In Los Angeles.
Excellent.
On Saturday, which is August 1st, this coming Saturday, I know. if I know. So, yes, we're having a world premiere here in the real sense of the word, where it's invitation only, you know, lovely party and all that kind of thing. And then up in San Francisco on August 6th at the Victoria Theater, we are having a big, ginormous screening, after party, DJ, food. I mean, the whole thing, it's going to be wonderful. The Victoria Theater, it's like got 450 seats or whatever. So any of your listeners in San Francisco,
oh my God,
go to Brown Paper Tickets and look for Raven's Touch on August 6th.
Excellent.
We will be there.
In the Mecca. You're in the homeland. You're on like in Sappho City. That's fantastic. Oh my God.
I know. You know, it's been a little funny trying to get the word out. It's, you know, God bless social media, but on the one hand, I think people start to put too much, too much power in those two words, social media, because I'll tell you what, it's there's got to be other ways, you know? It's hard to get a hold of, it's hard to find the lesbians anymore. It's hard to find those ladies.
I know. I feel like if you want to find them, just look, their heads are down. They're, you know, they're on their phones. They're
on their devices. Hard. They're raising families. They're doing everything that everybody else is doing, which is great.
But they need a night out. They need a night out.
I want to find you ladies. I want to find you ladies, San Francisco ladies, to come and see Tracy and Dre and myself on August 6th.
I think that I can't imagine that anybody that's listening right now isn't going right now to browntickets.com looking this up. This is fantastic. Like I said, I just didn't want to get the theaters or the venues wrong. But now we've got the information straight from you. And I have a feeling that once this comes out, and people get like a little snip. You know, it's like chocolate. Get a little taste. Boom. Yeah. That's it. You got to eat the whole candy bar.
Okay. Do you want a little delicious morsel right now?
Oh, heck yeah.
Would you? Exclusive for you?
Oh, yes.
Lovely Denise. Not only is this Drea's best acting, in my opinion, but she is naked on a rock. That's all I'm going to say. In the sunshine.
Oh, my God. I just had a little mini heart attack.
You're still red.
Oh, geez, she is gorgeous. That's going to be the shot. That's going to get everybody in right there. Yeah, oh, my God.
And it was so much fun shooting it, too. We did it on the first day before filming started. I'm like, I had done some scouting. I'm like, I have this great idea. Let's do this. And, you know, we climbed up this big hill, and the camera climbed up after us.
Got to make it perfect. That was the first shot. Did you just say the first shot you did?
No, that was the first thing that we shot.
Way to jump in. Way to jump right in.
I know, right? It was so amazing. Yeah, she's wonderful, and Tracy is wonderful, and I can't think of better casting to play me as a mother. She did a wonderful job. I mean, really grabbed those nuances and understood the journey. She doesn't have kids herself, but you wouldn't know it based on her performance.
Oh, that's fantastic. It's amazing to me when you've worked with the same actor, you know, to get a different performance from them. You know, like that's a credit to you, but Tracy is the perfect person for that. Like, I just feel like I've seen her in a couple of different things and you never have the same feeling twice. It's fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. She does a good job, and she has just come into the age where she can, you know, realistically play a parent of teens. You know, they adopted, she and her wife adopted the kids young, and it's a beautiful mixed family. And that's one of the things I loved about the story is I created this beautiful, diverse family of mixed race without ever having one discussion about it in the film. It's just representation.
Perfect for this time, that with this surge that we're going through, this almost normal. I mean, we're almost at the, you know, we're almost at the stage where we don't have to explain, we don't have to put gay in front of marriage, we don't have to put modern in front of family.
Exactly.
We're getting there, and that's just a testament right there to leave it out, because we know, you know, we know.
Yeah, we don't need to have that discussion anymore. I mean, I know some parts of the world do, but I don't feel that we need to have it anymore. So we didn't.
I know.
They're just there. They're beautiful, wonderful. The kids are magnificent. They do a great job in the film.
I was just going to ask that. How was it? Was this first time working with kids?
Yes, the first time. Of course, they were both, let's see, Chris was just over 18, and I'm not even going to tell you the age of our wonderful our wonderful Maya, because you won't believe it, but she was over 18, so we didn't have to worry about the super limited hours.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
They were both very responsible.
No cooling on the set. That's good.
Yeah, I'm not sure about really ever working with young kids. I think that might be more than I could bear, because after having been through it, I'm not sure how much patience I'd have. I think my child patience has been utilized in my own world.
Yeah, I think about like what I put my parents through, and I go, yeah, I don't need that. I don't. And I wasn't even bad. I just think, like, I was normal, and I still probably couldn't handle it. Just the worry and the stress and the,
oh,
you know,
my God.
Yeah,
it's pretty incredible. It really is.
Yeah.
So listen, do you have, I suspect you have listeners all over.
I do.
Is there a way to implement some sort of giveaway?
Like
2 tickets to the exclusive world premiere of Raven's Touch in Los Angeles.
Oh my God, what can we make them do for it? This is my favorite part. What can we make them do?
What can we make them do? I don't know, maybe ask some weird trivia question about Drea and one of her films, and whoever answers it first, or whoever, you know, hears this first and just sends you
an email
from Los Angeles. Let's not make them work too hard.
Yeah, let's just make them write Drea naked on a rock, and that's all they have to put.
That means they've listened.
Right.
Which is something.
Yes.
You have to listen to Denise and me to get the prize.
You heard. And then I will forward that information on to you, and you can take care of them.
And then I will put them on the guest list. As long as you get their name, and they can bring a guest, of course, as long as you can get their name and their email address, so I can make sure to get them all the information. And
perfect.
Then they can come and party with me and Drea and Tracy and get red carpet photos and go to a party and watch Drea naked on a rock.
I think that this is like one of the best contests we've had in a long, long time.
Yay!
I'm going to let you go walk your dog. Next up, I have Drea. So I can't
Drea,
wait to tell her.
Give her some air kisses for me.
I will. Thank you so much for your time.
My pleasure, honey.
Okay.
Always so great to talk to you.
You too. Bye, babe.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, you guys. So you heard from Marina. Email me at deniseanddonna@gmail.com immediately with the sentence, Drea naked on a rock, and you could get 2 tickets to Saturday night's private screening of Raven's Touch in L.A. Do it. Do it now. We've only got a couple of days to get this locked down. So then, just a few minutes later, I got to talk to Drea Weber, who you guys will know from The Gymnast and A Marine Story, if you were any kind of good lesbian. And she gave us a little bit of an idea of what it was like. This was the first time they worked together, like Marina said, working on indie films and all the kind of goofy stuff that they did. So here's my talk with the always sexy, fabulous Drea Weber.
What? Oh, I believe anything that Marina comes up. I mean, that woman is amazing.
She said, you know, why don't we do a ticket giveaway for the LA premiere on Saturday? And I was like, sure, what do you want to make them do? That's my favorite thing, make listeners do stuff. So she had mentioned something about the very first shoot that you guys did. Do you remember which one that was? Up on a rock?
Yeah, we were scouting the location in the Los Angeles National Forest, and I think I climbed up, if it's the same thing, I climbed up this kind of sheer rocky face, because there was this beautiful outcrop, and of course it was ridiculous, the idea of having actors go up there and a camera, but I was like, this is awesome, this is where Raven would climb, this is where she'd go up to this place, but it was completely ridiculous.
So, that's the scene. That's the one. We decided that if any of our LA listeners write in, and the first ones to write in an email saying Drea naked on a rock,
oh God,
we'll win 2 tickets to the premiere. So that's exciting.
That's hysterical. That's hysterical. I was going to say to Marina, I was like, maybe we should say, you know, an art photo. be a little more.
I said, look, man, if anybody's going to drive the girls to the theater, it's that line right there. So we had some fun. But
you know what? That's the thing. People always say that women are nesters and they don't want to leave their homes.
We'll leave for naked Drea Weber on a ride.
Right. See? So there you go.
We talked a little bit because I was asking her this, if this was the first time you guys worked together, and she said, yeah. And that was kind of like exciting to hear that this was a first, because this is, I mean, first of all, it's fantastic news because it's, again, you know, more lesbian content out there,
yes,
and with you, but you, you really added to it. I mean, you didn't just come on as an actor. You even did the writing.
Yeah, you know, it was a unique opportunity. She had a really clear, she presented a synopsis that had a really clear depiction of a single mom's experience, mm-hmm. which was, you know, which was something that she, you know, she's a single mom. She has, yeah. she has kids.
yep.
And they're entering the fantastic teenage years, which is so awesome for parents. and so she had a really clear idea about that character. And then the other character was a little less clear. And it went through several different iterations. But I had an idea about Raven that I really was interested in pursuing. This idea of the instinct to isolate when we're in extreme distress, depression, pain, crisis.
Yeah.
You know, and someone very dear to me has been suffering from chronic illness for just fucking forever. I mean, it's just too long to be imaginable. And I talk often with them about this impulse to remove themselves, like a sick dog or something. You know, animals have that instinct.
Yeah, they go away and they're just on their own. Yeah.
Yeah, my cats did that before they died. It's so sad, but
yeah,
but it's so, I guess it's so animal. I guess it's such a, I don't know.
It's clearly an animal instinct.
So I was really interested in pursuing that, in writing that, and then seeing, and then having the intersection of these two characters come from their shared instinct to go to nature. So Kate does it with her kids in a way to kind of get them away from technology and all the other distractions of puberty and to try to reconnect with them. And my character does it more out of her distress, this crisis point. But that's where they meet each other. And I thought, that's cool. That's so different from the way we usually meet people and the circumstances. And I think people are particularly vulnerable in nature. Like, they're a little stripped to their essentials.
Yeah. It really is. It's interesting to think of people meeting at a crisis point in their lives. It can either go one way or the other, can it?
Yeah, and I think in the case of the movie, what it does is it leaps them forward, you know, to a kind of understanding of each other, I felt, you know? And so it's kind of an unconventional love story in a way, because I feel like it's something more instinctive and more, because it doesn't have the trappings of our usual norms of, like, let's go to a bar, let's go have a drink,
right.
let's go have dinner at a restaurant. That's all kind of stripped away.
Yeah, it is. It's really like you and your thoughts.
Yeah.
That's great. It's your first time working with Tracy too, right?
Tracy and I, it was the first film project, but Tracy and I had worked on a show at the Actors Game in LA. Oh, was it 2, 3? I think it was a year and a half before we shot it. It wasn't the Christmas before Raven's Touch, it was the one before that.
Oh, wow.
We had shared a dressing room, and it was a sort of like cabaret variety, super silly show. And Tracy was like being a song and dance gal, and I was doing one of my comic aerial act. And we just had the opportunity to be, the show ran for like 2 months.
Oh,
so we just had the opportunity to be around each other.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. I told Marina, and I'll tell you this, I know that as a community, we get so excited when Marina puts something out, because we're already secure in the fact that it's going to be a quality piece of work.
Yes.
And it's just, you know, there's so little of that out there. I was saying sometimes I get, not upset, but like I get disappointed when I put something on and it's not the quality I'd hoped for. You know, I feel like we deserve the quality that Marina's putting out there, because you know, they're just like we would see in a theater, you know, or, you know, something on TV. It's just that perfect quality. So I'm so looking forward to this, and it sounds like you guys had a really good time making it.
Oh, we had a great time.
To your credit, she said you could put in a 16-hour day and still be goofy and giggly and silly, and I was like, that's the best.
It is the best. We laughed so much on set. I mean, granted, of course it's super stressful, and my God, the stuff that always happens in production is just mind-bending, because you just think... you try to anticipate the kind of logistical problems that are going to happen, but it's impossible to. The first day our very, very first day on location, out in the Los Angeles National Forest, which is kind of off the cell phone grid. So,
oh God,
so our camera went down and our grip truck didn't show up. So we had like, and several crew members were lost, and you can't call them.
Oh,
so
my God.
Not only do you not, like, you're non-functional, you don't even know when or how, or, and every day, you know, if you kind of, on the budget level that we are,
yeah,
you know, kind of the independent film, it's about $10,000 to $12,000 a day. Yeah, so you start to break that down. If you lose 2 hours of that, and we're not horrifying to people. I don't even think we went over 12 hours with our crew. You know, I mean, for
That's
us,
great.
Of course, it's a longer day, but
yeah,
we really are not that kind of filmmakers. And before we even started, we both agreed that we weren't going to brutalize our crew like that.
Nice. Nice of you guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's just too much. People become... you know, non-functional. And the crazy thing is people will do it.
Yeah.
They will do it. It's a remarkable thing that people who love film, it's so hard to get a film together. It's so hard to get it going. And it's relatively few people when it comes down to it. If you say 35 people for whatever, 15 days, it's still kind of a miracle compared to how long it takes to get that going, how long it takes to raise the money, how long it takes to finish a film. The shoot is such a concentration, and it's fun to be on set. If you're crazy, if you're interested in movie making, it's really fun to be on set.
Yeah.
I think for other people, they're like, why the hell would anybody ever do that?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah,
I have an editor friend who's like, I don't want to be on set because people die on set.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. I like it here where you can, you know, I can put the pictures in. And anyway, I don't know how I got off of that tangent, but but I guess that was just to make a point of that in spite of those kinds of things, we had a really great time.
That's fantastic.
Endless admiration for Marina. And, you know, she's like, I just thought of this the other day. She's like Roger Corman was in his niche. He was just like, fuck everybody.
Yeah.
I'm going to make movies.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, they got better, although I would say his quality was much less. It was a different time. You know, he was just pounding them out. But, you know, he made a good amount of movies with Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
He had,
true.
You know, he made some movies where he had great actors and he started their careers. But mostly his just like can do. We're going to do it. I'm going to keep making movies. And that's it.
Yeah, you kind of have to have that mentality going in. And the best part about working, I think, with Marina is the fan base is incredible.
Yeah.
And same with Tracy. We were talking about Tracy's fan base is like a little mini army, you know. Mm. But Marina's, I love that she can put the word out and know that she's going to be able to raise a, you know, a good bit of money, and she's so concerned with what she's given the community, and I think that's something that you don't normally get.
Yeah.
You know, and that makes a huge, huge difference. And she was saying how she thought of you when she came up with this concept, and I thought that's pretty interesting because she actually almost created the movie around you and then just hoped that you would say yes.
I know. It was really amazing because what happened, because she had a timeline. I was doing a show in Amsterdam, and I think I didn't get back till February or something, and she wanted to shoot that summer. And on our meeting, we'd been talking about it, and in our first meeting when I came back, I was going to say to her, I don't see that this is possible. I can't see it. I in my experience, I can't see raising the money, finishing the script, doing pre-production, and shooting this summer. And she was like, so that was in my head. And I show up at the meeting, and she's got, like, character breakdowns, this 2.5-page synopsis, like, calendars outlining the schedule, and just this, if you say yes, I will raise the money. I mean, it was just like, but it was really all of the other preparation that sold me, and especially the synopsis. And that was when I was like, why don't you let me take a stab at the screenplay?
That's awesome.
Yeah, and it was really fun. I contributed to story, of course, on the gymnast and the Marine story, but I was really curious about taking on the task in a bigger way, which is just, you know, incredibly bullying. And you know, I hope people like the movie.
It's
true passion and love, and I think it's an unusual way to look at the way human beings can intersect, and one of my favorite parts about it is that we don't go out of our way to explain
things
that I don't think need to be explained, like the fact that Kate, the character that's based on Marina's experience, that her kids are multiracial,
right,
and adopted. It's like, I never wanted to explain that. And we just like, it's a family. It doesn't matter.
Right. We're there. I mean, as a society, we're there. We don't have to put modern in front of family, gay in front of marriage. I mean, we were talking about that. Maureen and I were talking about that, how fantastic it is. And it's not because of the type of movie it is. It's because it's a movie today, you
right.
know? And that's great. That's a true testament
yeah.
of how far we've come, you know? That's great.
I know. It's really exciting.
It so is. It's fantastic. I'm super excited about the fact that your second big premiere after LA is in San Francisco. It was like, oh my God.
I know.
They're going to flock. So cool. They are going to flock. I mean, we were talking about social media, and I know that's a huge help. You know, it's never enough, but it's a huge help.
Yeah.
And I know what kind of fan base you have, so it's going to be incredible. I'm sure you're going to get a fantastic turnout for that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
God. I already know two people that are going.
And that's the theater where The Gymnast had its world premiere.
Oh, how sweet for you.
Yeah.
Excellent.
It's really cool. It's
Very
really
good.
Cool.
Oh, that's fantastic. Adria, I thank you so much for taking time out of your day to do this. It's fantastic.
Oh, I appreciate it. So, you know, we appreciate so much. We have to have help, you know?
And my pleasure.
And spreading the word, and I really appreciate it. Thank you.
I'm thrilled to do it. I'm so happy for you
Thanks
guys. I can't wait until we get to see it here
yeah.
in England. God knows how long that'll take, but we'll make it work, I promise you.
Well, amazingly, we already have a distribution offer.
Boom.
And, you know, so hopefully it'll be before the end of this year that it'll
fantastic.
Be available.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
It's incredible. My head is spinning. It's great.
I know.
Great.
It's like no
yeah, so
words.
It'll be out
like,
in the world much faster.
I'm so thrilled for you guys. I'm super happy to do this. If you guys need anything else, you know where I'm at.
All right.
Take care. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you so
Bye,
much. Bye.
She's fabulous. Like, I mean, who are we kidding? She is fabulous. Honestly, if you loved her in The Gymnast, which that was, I think, the first time we ever saw her, we had her on the show. And then I saw a Marine story a couple of years ago, and I'm just always blown away by her intensity, I think. From what Marina says, we will not be let down. Raven's Touch is some of Drea's finest work. So looking forward to that. And I'm thrilled to death that they already have distribution, which means I won't have to wait a lifetime to get it over here. So then earlier this week, I got a chance. I was like on fire this week, people. I am telling you, I was on fire. Earlier this week, I got a chance to talk to out musician Jen Foster, who is always one of our favorite guests here in the lounge. And we had a blast. Jen got to talk a little bit about her new album, The White Room Sessions. And I got to listen to a little bit of the music, and it's just incredible. Her smooth, sultry vocals are like no other. And we got a chance to talk about how the album came about, what life was like after the She For Me marriage equality campaign, and her song that went along with it. And then splitting her time between LA and Nashville. We also get an exclusive scoop from Jen right there in the middle of the interview. So I want you to make sure that you listen all the way through, because along with the scoop, we've also got some clips from Jen's bonus tracks that you can get by donating towards the album through the website, and she'll give you all that information. So I want to thank you now for hanging out with me. It's been awesome. I know it feels quick, but it's not. It's not, because here's me and the talented Jen Foster. I feel like it's been forever. Yeah, it's been forever. Man.
Well, I know. I like did this crazy thing and took a vacation.
You know, I got to tell you, that's so funny that you said that, because when I first caught wind that you had this new album coming out, my first thought was, you know, she could have just sat back after participating in the whole same-sex marriage thing and the She For Me campaign and having that be, like, such a huge success. You could have just sat back like king shit, basically, and not done anything.
I thought about it. But here you
are. Here you are putting out a new album. This is fantastic.
The She For Me thing was intense. It was fun. But yeah, I mean, after that, I just kind of, there was a lot of stuff going on that I just sort of need to step away for a minute. But I'm really excited to be back. And I'm ready to get out on the road and see some people again, you know?
Yeah. You've been missed for a little bit. And the cool thing is like, so this thing you're doing, the White Room Sessions, it's kind of like a treasure chest of good stuff that you're just now sharing with us. Tell us what that's like. Like, how did that even come about? What was the thought process?
You know, it really just kind of developed organically.
The best.
You know, it started out with me going to LA back in 2009 and just really connected with Rich Jacks, who's my co-producer on the project. And, you know, it kind of was like I was just going to go out there and do a few songs with him. And then, we had so much fun that we just kept planning more trips. And the songs felt like they kept getting more and more compelling. And I was loving what we were developing artistically. And, you know, before I knew it, this sounds crazy, but before I knew it, 5 years passed. And it's like, God, I've got to get this music out there. So, you know, what better way to catch me up to speed than to just do a double record, you know?
Yeah, ambitious. Hello, a double record. Totally ambitious. Love that.
Well, thank you. I mean, you know what? Nobody's doing it. And I'm one of those people that's always thinking about what people aren't doing that I can do differently. And it doesn't always work. But you know, sometimes I just, I don't know, I'm just not as much of a trend follower as I am somebody that likes to sort of think outside the box and just do things my own way. So,
very cool.
This works, you know. We'll see what happens, but I'm in the middle of this pledge campaign right now, raising money to finish the project, and it's going really well. So I'm excited at how people are really engaging with the campaign, and, you know, it just feels good to have that energy again, you know?
It's kind of a cool way of doing things.
Go ahead.
I think that's a super cool way of doing things. And I just had this chat with Melissa Farrick, who was kind of saying almost the same thing. Like, when you get people involved in what you're doing, they're so invested. You know, the outcome is that they're going to promote, they're going to tell people,
right.
You know, it's an amazing thing, you know, and it really is a credit to your fan base, you know?
Oh, that's sweet. Well, you know, I love people, and this whole thing really started with me just you know, having all this stuff to say inside of me and wanting to get out there and hopefully connect with people. Because to me, that's the reward of it, is when you get all this crazy stuff that you're feeling inside of you out, and then other people come to you and verify that you're not completely crazy, that they feel the same way too, and they experience the same things. And so that's my favorite part of making music, is that connection with people.
It's fantastic, the connection that you do have. I remember talking about this a while ago with you. Your fans are so incredible. And the songs that you're putting out, like you said, like they're almost 5 years old. So you guys did a little bit of reimaging, but for you, what is it like to go back and listen to your older stuff? Is it weird for you?
You know, like,
do you approach it differently?
I love it. It's kind of like, you know, I don't know if it would be like this or not, actually, but, like, I can imagine it would be like this being, you know, this being a child, like, you know, that's yours, and just kind of every time you see it, every time you hear it, you sort of, new layers of it come into focus, and it changes meaning to you over the years. But, you know, some of the songs are old, and some of the songs are actually pretty new. I think there's a song on there called Hide that, you know, I pretty much wrote just a few months ago, and then we got in the studio and recorded it. So there's a mixture of old stuff and new stuff, and, you know, there's a lot of ground to cover over 5 years. So.
Yeah, totally. I like Secondhand Love. I love Secondhand Love.
Okay.
I checked that out when I made my pledge, and I,
thank you. That's so sweet.
And the video, I love the video. It's such a chilled, relaxed, mellow video, you know, like I just sat there with my face in my hands and my elbows on the table and just watched it with my little head tilted. I'm like, this is the best.
I want a video of that. Of you watching the Secondhand Love video. That would make my day.
I will do that.
Can
for
we do
you.
That?
I will do that for you.
It would just be so heartwarming. I don't know, but yeah, that's a really special song to me. You know, Denise, that was, you know, a few years ago, that was heard by Alison Krauss, and she called it a signature song, which really meant a lot to me.
Oh, cool.
Mark Funda, two producers, Sugarland and Trish Yearwood, he played it for Alison. And at the time, she was working on a project that was very specific. It was targeted for a specific theme, mm-hmm. and so the song didn't fit. But, you know, I've heard rumors that Alison sometimes will hold on to songs and cut them 10 years later, and of course, my dream cut would be with her, because I really wrote Secondhand Love with her in mind. But, you know, Wynonna Judd ended up putting it on hold, too. And
nice.
Stuff happened in her life that kind of derailed the project altogether. But, gosh, it's a lot of, you know, things have to come into, it's like a perfect storm that has to develop to get a cut here in Nashville. Mm-hmm. And so, what I've just been doing is just, you know, focusing on doing my artist thing, because I think for me at least, when I write from my heart and I'm not thinking about, like, writing a tractor song or a beer song or whatever,
right. Then
I'm in my element, and that's when things go well, is when I'm just doing my thing. And, you know, you never know what can happen when you're just being authentic and putting out what's real.
Yeah.
You know, hopefully it'll... So... Yeah.
The best plans are usually plans that have developed organically, and that's the cool thing, like you said, like when it is the perfect storm, you go back and you look at it and you go, wow, that just happened, you know, the right time, the right moment, the right song, the right people, and boom, you've basically nailed it.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And it happens when you're out there living and you're out there doing what you love and bumping into people, you know,
if
I sit at home and I try to plan this shit on my computer or, you know, whatever, start writing stuff down, it never turns out like it does in my head. I've got to get out there and do shows, and you just never know who you're going to meet and what's going to happen. So I have to remind myself of that. I'm acting like I know that well, and that's something I have to remind myself of, because, you know, as an artist, I think that we fluctuate between wanting to be on stage and then wanting to hide. So I have to remind myself that I can't hide. I've got to get out there and lay it all out there. So
And you do.
Challenge.
You do. Your concerts are so fun. You do a cover of Journey's Faithfully, which will undoubtedly drive the ladies wild. And it's such an iconic song. Like, for me, songs like that, like, it literally brings you right back to a time and a place when you hear it. So what did that song mean to you?
Right. Well, you know, I was in the studio actually in L.A. recording that song I just mentioned that's called Hide. And my keyboard player was just sitting there. We were in between takes, and he just started messing around on the piano, and he started playing Faithfully. And so I just started belting out my best Steve Perry imitation and, you know, having fun with it. And Rich, who was in the control room at the time, he said, oh, my God, he goes, we've got to do that. He goes, you're joking around, but that actually really suits your voice well. And, you know, and then when I got into really singing it and just making it my own and not sort of faking Steve Perry imitations, but, you know, singing it and making it my own, I just got into the space with it where it was like, wow, I felt it. And, you know, I brought a lot of personal stuff to it too, with regard to a past relationship. And, you know, so it really brought out a lot in me. And I think it came out beautifully. And we did the video here at my house in Nashville. Oh. And it was a kind of a cathartic experience. So, you know, I don't know if you've seen the full video yet, but, I'm excited actually about getting Beyond the Pledge campaign so that we can get this stuff out to everybody, because I really want to put it out to the world, you know?
Yeah, the cool offer is for your contributors are that when they do pledge, they get these bonus tracks, right?
Yeah, if you join Pledge, and basically you don't have to pledge a whole lot either. I mean, there's packages that are not a lot where you can just get the record, you know, or you can get the record in a T-shirt and a poster. And then there's sort of more high-end items, like I'm actually offering one of my guitars that I wrote Venice Beach on, and, you know, the outfit on the cover of Everybody's Girl. And so there's all these exclusives. But along with that, you'll get, you know, the download of Faithfully, access to the videos that nobody else is getting. So it's a pretty cool deal.
That's awesome. And now you launched this, and I don't know if this was, if there was an intent behind it, but a pretty special thing happened when you released that song, because I was reading the comments on the Pledge page, and it just so happened that it was right around the time that the Supreme Court made same-sex marriage legal everywhere, and it was just the perfect combination.
It was right around June 26th, which is that day.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of great comments from people that just mentioned they were going to put it on their wedding list, you know, to play at their weddings.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even thinking about that when I recorded it, but man, it does make a really great wedding song for anybody out there who would like to use it. And thereby spread the word. Okay.
It's so funny. I don't want to give anything away about my age or anything, but that was my 8th grade prom song, my junior prom song. So
Faithfully was?
Yes.
Really? Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yep. Brought me right back to that gymnasium with the streamers and the carnations.
so you were slow dancing with, what? Come on, what was his name?
I think
you remember.
Yeah,
Brian,
I do.
Right,
his name was Brian, and we did. We did a little slow dancing thing. He was like my biggest crush ever, and we did. We went to the junior prom together, and then broke up like 3 days later. But I don't care because I had the prom under my belt. Boom.
Oh, you had him for the prom. That's all that mattered.
All that mattered, man. So
you know, that's so funny. Now you're taking me back to like my high school days, and I remember the big dance I had with the boy that I liked, and I liked this guy named Justin Tate. And gosh, I shouldn't have said his name because I was going to say something else about him. But our dance was to the song True by Spandau Ballet.
Oh,
do you remember that one?
Yeah. Yes. Another good one. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So fun. That's what I mean.
It was pretty fun.
These songs are just layered with meaning. Like, you remember the first time you heard it, you remember what it meant, you remember when you connected with it. It's so funny. Like, what a perfect cover.
You know, that's what I love. I love that about music, about how,
yes.
You know, to me, that's one of the most rewarding things about making music, is it takes you to moments in your life, and it can just take you back to the best time or the worst time,
right.
Unfortunately, but,
yeah.
You know, it's about memories.
Yeah,
it's about memories, and there's really nothing better in life than to be able to create something that somebody will have a strong memory too, hopefully.
Oh, exactly. That's the best part. That is the best part. Now, you are back and forth, L.A., Nashville. Do you have a preference?
You know, I love both for different reasons, and I love coming. Nashville is a lot more laid back and spread out, and it's funny. This woman that I'm working with, Robin Davis, she's great, by the way. It's been such an awesome experience working with Robin. She's helping me with the pledge campaign and keeping me on track, you know, making sure I don't get too, you know, wrapped up in ADD and stay on task.
Right.
But anyway, what was I saying? See, now, there you go, ADD, perfect example.
Nashville versus LA.
Oh, yeah, she's out in LA, and she's been texting me. She's like, oh, my God, I got another parking ticket. And I'm like, girl, you got to pay attention in Los Angeles. It is a little bit high stress with watching the parking, and you've got to make sure you're on top of it and come out to feed the meter. But, I love L.A. creatively. I have a lot of great people I work with out there, songwriters, producers that I love collaborating with. And so it's just a good energy out there. And I always find myself really just thinking deeply about life. For some reason, I know, and people say L.A. is so fluffy and all that, but I've just found a really cool community of people out there that we work well together, and we dig deep for the songs. And here in Nashville, there's a lot of things I like about it. I will say this, it's not quite as progressive, obviously, as LA. And you know what, that's just a fact. I don't care if somebody can argue with me and go, what are you talking about? Well, I'm talking about the truth, okay, bitches? No.
I think in an overall way, I think you're talking about, like, overall, not music.
Overall, in general. And there are definitely, it's growing and changing, and acceptance and tolerance is definitely increasing all over the world, I would say, right now.
Yeah,
but in general, LA is definitely a more free, creative environment for me personally to work in. And it's just probably because I'm not in that mindset of thinking about writing a country song or, you know, what somebody else might sing. I'm just singing my own stuff. I'm doing my own stuff and writing from my heart.
Right.
And I try to do that all the time. I'm just saying that a lot more here, there's sort of, this is where Music Row is.
Yeah.
And that is the center of the people that write the country songs for the country artists. And it is a high level, interesting world, and it's hard to explain, but
I'm learning because I am addicted to the TV show Nashville, so I'm learning.
And that's great. There's some great music on there.
Oh, big time. Yeah, we just watched. I mean, we're so far behind over here in England as opposed to in the States, so we're just in the middle of season three, so I just love the music. I'm constantly going onto iTunes and downloading songs. They just find
they've got some
people.
They've got some really cool music. I know some people that have written some songs on there that are some of my co-writers.
Oh, love it.
You know, it's a pretty. I haven't honestly tried to pitch to that show, which I really should. I keep thinking, oh my God, I need to like submit some songs to Nashville. I just have never done it. So,
oh God, yeah, put that on your list for sure.
Thanks for the reminder. We're going to make that happen, Denise.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
You know, the funny thing, I follow you on social media, so I'm all over you. I'm all over you like white on rice. And and I've seen some pictures of you hanging out with Telefilm's Kristen Baker, and that only leads me to wonder, could we potentially see you in a Telo series one day?
I think it's quite possible, and it's interesting because I just hung out with Kristen last weekend. Kristen's amazing.
She is
a go-getter. She's super smart. She is super kind, really friendly, and a connector of people. And I love how whenever I get together with her, I meet some of the most interesting people ever. And just really cool people. She surrounds herself with great people.
Yeah, she does.
And I think that's part of the key to her success.
Actually,
we've talked about a couple of potential projects. So.
Oh, fantastic.
It's funny, Denise, I wrote her today and told her that I was doing an interview with you, and I mentioned the question, and I just said, this is great. I said, maybe we need to make this happen now.
Uh-huh.
And she wrote back, and she just wrote back, Kyle, love this. You know, she's like, let's talk. So,
yes.
Yeah, you might have just lit that fire.
I'm on board. I'll produce. I'll do whatever you need me to do. I'm totally on
board.
Oh,
that'd be awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I had a couple of songs in some Tello series. So I've had
my
song I Didn't Just Kiss Her. We did an alternate version, and that was in Nikki and Nora.
Yes.
And then there's been a couple other things. Can't think of them off the top of my head, but Kristen's been really great with me, and she's just super, super awesome.
She is. We had such a fantastic time when she was here, I think it was last year, for Elfest. She came over for a big festival here in England, and she was part of the cinema program that I put together, and we just had such a good time. And she stayed with us.
I love it. By the way, when is Elfest happening?
Oh,
when
it was just last weekend. We were just there last weekend.
Oh, my God. See, always late to the party.
No. Let me tell you something. The best thing about it is that this one's done. They're already planning 2016. So now's the time to get in touch and get yourself on the lineup.
Who would I talk to, Denise?
I'm going to hook you up with Cindy Edwards because, you know, the music part of the festival is just like second to none. It's great, but it's also so many things like, you know, workshops and author readings and comedy. And we do a lip sync contest, which is so much fun. There's art. There's graffiti. They did a huge graffiti wall this year. They're always adding new things and they're so open to ideas. So I definitely say now's the time to try and get in. I think I just heard from Cindy a little while ago, and she's coming into London to see Mary Lambert's playing in London this weekend, and so everybody's heading.
Love Mary.
Yeah, everybody's heading to see Mary Lambert. So, but I will definitely hook you up with an email address and don't.
Oh,
panic.
That would be
yeah.
great. I would
yeah.
love that.
Yeah, don't.
And then I would hope that I can see you.
Oh, of course.
As well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We make it a point. Anytime there's an American over here, I make it a point to get right in there just so I can hear American accents.
Oh, there you go. I love it. So you love American accents because you're just oversaturated with the British.
Yeah, yeah. I still like by about midnight, I'm like, let me put on a little NCIS just for
that's great.
For background noise that I'm familiar with, you know?
Awesome.
So fun. But yeah, so that it would just be fantastic to have you here because I like you said, it's so fun to meet new people and get, you know, and interact and everything. So I know I saw something on your pledge site that you've already got a first gig lined up. So obviously you're planning on touring, but do you have any semblance of where you'll be?
Gigs.
Yeah.
Oh, I'd love to announce something actually here if I can, which I haven't even told anybody this.
Oh,
when
my
this,
God.
Are we live?
This is an exclusive?
Well, yeah, I'll just say it because, I mean, why not? This is Denise, you're the one that I'm going to announce this to. I just booked an Olivia Cruz.
Nice.
It's going to be the Hard Rock Puerto Vallarta, and it's going to be October 10th through the 10th through the 19th, but it may just be the 10th through the 18th, but we're confirming the details now, and it's all, but it's all in process. So
why not,
this is a great opportunity to put the word out there that if you want to come hear some music, comedy, I mean, these it's not a cruise, actually, I guess it's more of a trip, you know, where Like Olivia typically does cruises, but they do a lot of other stuff. So this is going to be a trip to the Hard Rock Resort in Puerto Vallarta.
Oh.
And it's going to be super fun. So, yeah, I mean, it's like the resort's awesome. There's pools everywhere, pools and hot tubs. But what I can tell you is that there is always some late night skinny dipping happening with these girls.
That's all you need to say. That's it. That's all you need to say.
Okay, that's it. I mean, really, is there any need for anything else, right?
Just so, a little music. Just a little music. And we're set. That's fantastic.
Exactly. Well, and the cool thing is they've got this big amphitheater there, too, that it's just a great place to play music.
Yeah, it's
so the
a
music
great
sounds great.
Oh,
and,
God,
you know, everything's just top of the line.
That is fantastic news. Oh, my God. Brilliant. Excellent.
I'm excited. I mean, I literally just booked it, like, a couple of days ago, so we haven't even announced it on social media yet, so you get the exclusive.
Dun, dun, dun! You've heard it here first, folks. You have heard it here first. I'm so excited for you. That's big, big news. So... Wow, you've really got a busy couple of months coming up between getting out there, doing gigs, doing the cruise, and then coming to England. I mean, shit, you're going to be busy.
Hey, I mean, yes, exactly. I've got to get to England. Denise, I get so many great emails from, and just social media, whatever, tweets and posts, yeah, that from people in the UK that I'm... I can't wait to get out there and to do some shows. I really want to make it happen, so...
I'm with you, man. I'm behind you. Whatever you need me for, hit me up.
Okay. Well, we'll do, because, I mean, if I'm gonna... Yeah, I mean, it'd be awesome to set up some kind of a little, you know, to play some other venues as well, just to sort of make it work financially.
Sure.
So any insight into that, I might tweak your brain or whatever that... saying is.
I will definitely put some feelers out and see what we can come up with, because it would be, I mean, a lot of people do that. Like, I think maybe it was in 2013 when Donna was here, Rachel Sage came, and
yes,
she,
I love Rachel.
Yeah, she played Elfest, but she also had a couple of other gigs booked, and it worked out so nice. So yeah, we'll definitely try and piece
yeah,
together.
Rachel, Rachel actually did the first Olivia cruise that I ever did. And so I met her, gosh, I mean, it was like Rachel, me, I don't know if, like, Suzanne Westenhofer was on that one as a comedian. Great. Love Suzanne.
Yeah.
She's a good friend of mine and hilarious. And there was another great musician. Oh, and I think that was the one that Melissa Etheridge actually played
which
was pretty phenomenal.
Jeez.
Yeah, it was Melissa Etheridge in the theater, like small theater, just with her guitar and a piano, and that was it.
Oh my God,
it was so amazing.
Mm. I actually love talking to her. I've interviewed her a couple of times for She Magazine, and we always, like, something always happens, and we just bust out into laughter and have to kind of regroup, and I just love that, because... She's so intense on stage that you can't really imagine her being, you know, a little goofy or, you know, in person. But for some reason, the first time I think I was talking to her, the ice cream truck went by and my windows were open. So the ice cream thing went by and I was like,
hilarious.
Yeah, can you hold on for just a second? Like, I just got to run outside and get ice cream. And she, like, busted out laughing. And then the second time...
That is awesome.
The second time, yeah. I said something like that my friend and I were talking about, like, there's just something about a chick with a guitar. Like, they're always going to be the ones that get all the girls. Like, us losers are always going to be off in the corner, and the girl with the guitar is always going to get the chick in the end.
That's
and she
funny.
Died laughing and said, and the alimony. So, like, pretty good. So, yeah, it's...
Somebody told me this, that they were in one of the front rows of one of her shows, and some girl threw her underwear at Melissa. I'm sure she gets that all the time, but this particular pair landed on her head, and she just kept playing like a boss, like she didn't even let, like, and it was sitting on her head, like a hat, and she just kept playing the song.
Oh my
God. People loved it. So.
That's fantastic. I'm so sick. Like, all I would be is, like, throwing them off me and going, ew, ew, in the middle of the song. Ew, ew.
Right.
Wow, that's a total pro right there, man. That's a pro.
Absolutely. She is definitely that.
That is so cool.
I mean, I hope they were clean. That's all I'm saying.
I know. Like, please tell me they were right out of the dryer in your pocket. Like, you didn't just go to the ladies' room and grab them off your body just for that moment.
Right.
But yeah, there's a little something creepy and scurvy about that.
If they were not clean, they better be Angelina Jolie's. Okay.
Yeah. If they have to be dirty, let's make sure they're a good dirty. Oh my God, John. Such a good time talking to you.
Did I just say that?
You totally did. Okay. You totally did. And that's the kind of stuff I love in an interview. But but here's the thing. Just tell me real quick, because I'm going to let you go. I'm sure you got a busy day ahead of you. Where do we get to see you next?
Well, so we're kind of just putting this tour together, right now. And I think my first date that I'm playing at this... Now, we may be booking something sooner than this, but as of right now, October 6th at Eddie's Attic in Atlanta, which is one of my favorite venues to play.
Oh, I love
it. The sound is always great. The people are always in a fabulous mood there. And you can come, you can eat some food, have some drinks, and it's a listening room, so it's super fun.
That's cool.
Hear some great music and hang out with your friends. So
come
out to Eddie's Attic and talk. It's a Tuesday night, but we're also booking a weekend there later in the year, so I'll keep people posted. And then I'm also playing, Knoxville, Tennessee, at Christopher's on November 7th with Jessie Lynn. Jessie Lynn's a great artist, super, super person. She was also in the Venice series with me.
Okay.
And, she's an awesome writer and has a killer fan base, too. You really ought to interview her at some point if you get a chance, because you'd love her.
So we're doing
a double bill at Christopher's in Knoxville on November 7th.
Oh, great. That's fantastic.
And then we've got, and then the Olivia Cruise, and then we're also working on a lot of other dates. So we'll keep you posted. We really just got started with the booking.
Oh, beautiful. Excellent. I'm so, so, so happy for you. I can't even tell you. I'm gonna tack a little bit of Secondhand Love on the end of this so people know what I'm talking about.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate the promo. And Denise, can I just say one thing?
Sure.
So I'm an independent artist, and as you know, things have changed a lot in the music business.
Oh God, yeah, so true.
And so it's definitely more challenging these days for songwriters to sort of stay afloat. And so what I'm doing with this pledge campaign is we're people get to pre-order the CD and some other stuff, and you get these exclusives. Like I said, you'll get to see the Faithfully video, you'll get to see the full Secondhand Love video, and we've got two more videos coming up over the next month.
Oh, great.
So there'll be a lot of things available through this pledge campaign. It's a great way to support an artist, and like I said, it doesn't cost an arm and a leg. If you only have... $15 or $20, there's options for you, and it helps. Every little bit helps us. So I want to give you that address. It's just www.pledgemusic.com/projects/JenFoster, JenFoster. And I really appreciate any support that people can give. And thank you for supporting it as well and for giving me all this exposure. I love it.
Oh, I love it.
I love being exposed.
It's my pleasure, because I have to tell you, I crawled all over that pledge page. I'm telling you, I was on that like wildfire, and it's fantastic. It's a great, great concept. You know, I mean, like I said, I did it because I wanted to see the full video faithfully. That little teaser just wasn't doing it. And I get it. I mean, people don't have a lot of extra money these days, but like you said, the packages, some of them are so tiny, they'll totally fit your budget, and every little bit helps. But the things that you get, it's definitely worth it. Like, you get to see the videos, you get the exclusives, you get the bonus tracks. Fantastic. I think it's a great way to do it.
And that's the thing. I think you're absolutely right. And I think there can be a misconception about things like with Kickstarter and Pledge that you're just donating, or that we're just asking for a favor. or something. And,
exactly.
And, you know, it's really not the case at all, because if you give money, you're going to get something back, and, you know, you're going to get something good back, is what I'm going to tell you. I'm really proud of this new record. I think the music is some of the best I've ever written, and I'm super excited to get it out there to people.
I'm excited for you, and I'm excited for them to get to hear it. So, you know, let's do this. Let's make it happen, and let's take the White Room Sessions all over the damn place.
Love it. You rock. Thank you so much. And you know what? Not just with me, but, like, thank you for all you do for the community, for the women of our community. It's like, you know, we need the love, and we need the support, and you are just so, you're such a warm, supportive personality, and, you know, you need to hear that you're appreciated, and it's noticed, because it's definitely noticed by not only me, but a ton of people. So
thank you
for what you do, Denise.
Thank you so much. You have a fantastic afternoon. Thank you so much. I had no idea we were going to go on this long, but I'm loving every minute of it. Have a great, great day, and I will keep you posted. I will send you some contact information, and you let me know what kind of dates are coming up, so we can keep your audience full.
Absolutely. Thank you, sweetheart.
Okay,
we'll
talk to you soon.
Touch, okay?
Okay, bye-bye, hon.
Okay, Denise.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Here's a little bit of Secondhand Love and a little bit of Faithfully, so that you guys understand what I'm talking about where Jen's concerned. These songs are fantastic. If you get a chance, go to www.pledgemusic.com/projects/Jen Foster. Here you go. There's a little bit of Secondhand Love and a little bit of Faithfully. You guys, thanks so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed the chat with Marina and with Drea Weber and with Jen Foster. I hope you are really taking advantage of all the exclusives that we're getting right here on the Lesbian Lounge. I'm happy to have you. I hope you're happy to have me. We'll be back again next week. And on that note, I shall let you go and enjoy your evening. Bye-bye.